Who says a fox and a mouse can't live together in harmony? Disney confirmed today it's buying most of 21st Century Fox. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. There is confirmation this morning that the Walt Disney Company will buy a movie studio, piles of content, and a package of TV, sports, and other businesses from the Murdoch family's 21st Century Fox. The deal is worth more than $66 billion in stock and debt. Marketplace's Erica Barra says more.
The deal would make Disney an even stronger player in the media landscape, says analyst Rich Greenfield with BTIG.
This is going to give really Disney unprecedented power and leverage in their negotiations with the Comcast, the DirecTVs, the Verizon Fioses.
That's because sports is a big draw for subscribers. Disney already owns ESPN sports channels. It would also get the Fox Sports regional networks.
And that's probably going to lead to higher prices for those channels that end up getting passed along to consumers.
Disney would also have a bigger stake in the on-demand streaming service Hulu. Media analyst Hal Vogel says Hulu could then compete more effectively with rival Netflix.
With the backing of Disney, the cash flow and the production capabilities, it will be more substantial in the next couple of years.
I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
Note that the Fox broadcast TV station, the Fox News Channel, Fox Sports 1 and 2, will be spun off into a new company called simply Fox. The Murdoch newspapers, including the Wall Street Journal, will also stay under Murdoch's News Corp. Disney stock is up 1.2%, Fox stock up 0.5%. We drill down deeper into antitrust issues that may emerge here. If you miss our discussion of that on the air, it's in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed. The Federal Reserve did raise interest rates yesterday in the control room at the New York Fed. They'll now try to keep one of their key short-term rates between 1.25% and 1.5% now. If you listen even occasionally, this should not come as a shock. This was Janet Yellen's last big moment in the spotlight as Federal Reserve Chair. Jerome Powell takes the position early next year. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer was following this and joins me now from Washington. Nancy, you were there at the news conference. What did you hear Dr. Yellen say about the tax plan's effect on the economy?
She said it would cause some modest economic growth, but the Fed isn't predicting much additional growth from the tax plan, and it's still planning on 3 interest rate increases next year. The Fed is predicting the economy will grow at a rate of 2.5% next year. That's just a hair higher than the Fed's forecast from a few months ago. President Trump has said the tax overhaul could produce growth of 4%. Yellen said that rate of growth would be, quote, challenging.
But I think there was something else she said about how this tax overhaul could impact the U.S. economy?
Yeah, she talked about how the tax overhaul would add to the national debt, making a significant problem worse. And she also said she's personally concerned about the debt. That's pretty strong language for her.
For her, but I heard her is still trying to tiptoe around politics here.
Yeah. She did manage to avoid the politics of the tax debate. And she said Jerome Powell, President Trump's nominee to replace her as Fed chair, will do the same thing. I asked her if she had any advice for Powell. She began by saying she's worked with Powell for many years. And then she said this.
He is committed to the mission of the Fed, to its independence and to its acting in a nonpartisan, non-political way.
And just a reminder, David, this was Yellen's last press conference as chair of the Fed, but she'll lead the next Fed meeting in January before leaving in February.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer, who was at the news conference yesterday. Nancy, thank you.
You're welcome.
As a nonprofit organization, Marketplace is on a mission that drives what we do every day, to increase economic intelligence across the country. We believe it's important work, which we're already doing, and right now would be a great time for you to help. When you donate to support Marketplace today, your gift will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at the Candida Fund. Listeners like you who give to Marketplace do more than help keep the show on the air. You help us grow and get better. It's a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism you can trust, and the payoff comes with what you hear every day. Don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Give today at marketplace.org, and thank you. A perennial holiday story has new edge in the post-Weinstein scandal America: how to keep the office holiday party from getting disgusting. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
Do you want me to take a picture of the three of you? New York is a party town. Keisha Graham works for a small business in the city, a spa company. Her holiday party is coming up, and she says it can be a raucous affair. We spoke in front of the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center.
There is a lot of alcohol, and people do loosen up a bit.
She says she usually leaves the party early, and she's never heard of anything going wrong. About 20 blocks downtown, Oren Knopp says he recently asked his HR consultant to advise his company's party planning committee. He's CEO of an audiovisual firm called Presentation Products. The staff is 85% male, and he knows from past experience of holiday bashes.
People drink more than they normally would, and if something is going across the line, that's a very, you know, typical place where it could be. So we are nervous.
One way to cut down on possible fallout? Don't serve alcohol. Andrew Challenger is with outplacement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas. Its annual survey found the number of companies planning to offer booze has dropped from 60% last year.
Less than half of companies are planning to serve alcohol at their holiday parties this year.
Others are rationing cocktails by issuing drink tickets. New York HR consultant Corinne Jones says two of her clients have cancelled their parties. They're giving each employee a share of the money that would have paid for the event. Another client is bringing in a minder to keep an eye on the festivities.
They're hiring one monitor to kind of walk around, make sure that they're checking out areas that aren't frequently trafficked, just to make sure that if anything's going on, they can intervene.
Oren Knopp wishes he'd thought of that. He wants his employees to enjoy their party.
But at the same time, it's our responsibility just to make sure everybody understands that there's a line drawn in the sand of respect, and you should never cross that line.
He says he'll just be relieved when the whole thing is over. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.